The second reading is only two verses on Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that it speaks into our world in all of its chaos and disorder. Thank you for that promise of a day when your rule will be acknowledged by all, when the nations of the world will come together in peace because of their acknowledgement of your sovereign rule as Lord. We long for that day. And we thank you that we have the privilege of being a part of your work, heading towards that day, reconciling people to you through faith in your Son. Please would you encourage us, challenge us, teach us from your word now. Help us to understand more of the incredible things you have done for us and equip us to live faithfully as your people in the world until Jesus comes again. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Friends, are you growing? Are you growing as Christians? That's the big challenge from God's word this morning. The gardeners in the congregation will know that anxiety about whether something is growing or not. My grandfather was a very keen gardener, the kind of person that gets kind of trophies and ribbons at the country show. He was very skilled with all sorts of plants, and he tried desperately hard to instill that passion in his children and grandchildren, with some success. But one of the ways he'd do that would be to buy packets of seeds and to give them to members of the family and to try and spark a little bit of healthy competition. You plant the seeds in your garden and they can plant the seeds in their garden, and we'll compare how the plants are growing. And so through the season, the questions would be coming, how are the plants growing? Have they germinated through the ground? How tall are they? As they get bigger, do they have, how many shoots have they got? Have they got the tomatoes growing or the beans growing or whatever it is that the plant was meant to produce? Of course, some of us know an anxiety about growth, not because of a love of plants, but because of concern for family members. With one of our children, we had concern early on because for whatever reason, they weren't growing as they were meant to. And in those early days, there were lots of appointments back and forward to the hospital, lots of putting the baby anxiously in the scales and going, oh, it's only a few more grams this week compared to last week. You know, how is the feeding regime going? At what point do we need to introduce some solids or something to kind of boost the growth? Maybe some of you have seen that concern in members of your own family. Is this child growing as they're meant to? Are they reaching their developmental goals? Well, the Apostle Paul is concerned for growth, not growth in the garden, not growth in the early childhood clinic, but growth in the lives of Christians, and particularly in this little town in what we call Turkey, a town called Colossae. He's writing a letter to a church that he didn't start. It's a church that he never visited. And yet it's a church that he's heard great things about through the reports that have come back to him. He's heard how they have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, how they've begun really well in the Christian life. And he now wants to make sure that they continue to grow. His concern is for those developmental markers, for those signs and the evidence that the growth is happening in their lives. Colossians is a great book of the Bible. I hope you're enjoying our studies in it. It's a great place for somebody who's not yet a Christian because it lays out all the things that we believe about Jesus, the basics of who he is and what he's done. It lays out what it looks like to live a Christian life, following him faithfully and wholeheartedly all the days of our lives. So it's a great place to start if you're curious about Christian faith. But what the letter is really about is how you keep going in that faith. What does it look like in the days and weeks and months after coming to follow Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? And as the Apostle Paul thinks about the church and starts to write this letter to them, he wants to know, are they growing? And as we listen in, his concern for us is, are we growing? Perhaps that's a question that you've thought about in your own life. Maybe you look back on a period in your early life as a Christian where you went through a time of kind of extraordinary growth. And maybe you look back now with a distance of a few years and you think, wow, that was a great time. For me, there was a period in my late teens, early 20s, where it just felt like the growth was just so dramatic. You know, every week I was learning something new, studying books of the Bible that I hadn't read before, suddenly understanding kind of the big message of Exodus and kind of what Romans is all about, and seeing the big picture of how the whole Bible hangs together as one big story and not a whole series of little books. My personal Bible reading was full of daily fresh discovery. My home group that I went to was a place where people took the Bible seriously and were really keen to encourage each other to grow in the Christian life. And the question for me as I look back on that time, and perhaps for you as you look back on an earlier period of your life as a Christian, is, were those the best years? Spiritually speaking, were they the best years of our lives? There are people in the room who are further down the path of life than I am. That's to say there's some older people in the room than me. And you'll know how easily life takes over. We understand how we've got from that kind of early time of Christian growth to where we are now because we can look back and we can see how work became a big thing, and promotion, and deadlines, and mortgages, and family, and marriage, and children, and elderly parents, and retirement, and birthdays, and fixing the gutters, and tending the garden, and painting the spare room. And spiritually, it can feel like we're in survival mode because we just look at our week and we don't know how there'd be time for anything else than what we're already doing. Our days are filled to capacity. How could there possibly be room for investing seriously in our Christian growth? And so the days of that kind of dramatic growth as a follower of Jesus can seem like they're in the past and there's no going back to them. But of course, the flip side of that is, you know, and I know, Christians, and many, many Christians in our church community who have followed Jesus for 40, 50, 60 or more years and are still growing powerfully to love the Lord. We see it week by week, don't we? We see them growing kinder, wiser, more generous, more joyful, more useful to the Lord. And that is wonderfully encouraging to those of us who are kind of further back in the path following Jesus. Do you know at what age the human body starts to degenerate? 30. There's a bid down here. 30. Anyone in the advance on 30? 25. Anybody else? 40. Okay. I've got to say, this area of the room is closer to it, apparently, from your mid-20s. So for a lot of us, we're already on the downhill trajectory. Some of us might still be edging up towards the peak of the hill, but for most of us, we're on the way down. And we feel it, don't we? What about intellectually as a human being? At what point do you start to kind of go over the peak and start to decline? Any thoughts over here? 40? Okay. There's some optimists in the congregation. 60s. Apparently, we start to be less nimble in our kind of reasoning and our ability to problem solve from around the same period as our bodies start to slow, in the mid-20s. I don't know if that's right. Maybe people in the congregation can correct me on that later. But I find that discouraging. It means that I am on the downhill slope physically and intellectually. But you know what encourages me? That the Bible says spiritually that doesn't need to be the case. That though everything else may be going south, spiritually I can grow. And through the rest of my life, that the best years can be always ahead of me. That is the wonderful thing that we're going to see in God's word this morning. We're looking at just two verses. As Anna said, that's not a mistake. We deliberately wanted to slow down right in the middle of the series because these two verses are really the key message of Colossians. It's why we're learning them together with the younger members of church. They are the key verses to understand the book, but also key to understanding the message of what Paul is passing on in this letter. Because it sums up what we've looked at already, and it gives us a taster of what we're going to look at in the next few weeks before Easter. So just to sum up where we've got to, we began by listening to Paul's prayer for the Colossian church, that they would be filled with all spiritual understanding, the knowledge of God's will, that they might live a life worthy of the Lord. They've been reminded of the incredible gospel that has brought them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom, a dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son God loves. And then Paul has reminded us that if we've got the gospel message, we've got Jesus, we have all that we need. We are connected to the one who is the Lord of the universe, who made everything, and we are connected to the Lord of the church, who is who is growing this whole new creation that we are a part of, that will one day grow to fill the universe as everything is brought back under the authority, to acknowledge the authority of God. And so Paul says, that is the gospel, that is a powerful gospel that is worth suffering for, to see other people come to know and understand. That is the gospel that the Colossians have received. But the second half of the book looks forward to what does that gospel look like in your daily life? How do you apply Jesus being Lord to your work life, to your family life, to our church life? And so this is really the hinge. What does it mean to have received Jesus as Lord? What does it now look like to live in him and to go on living in him? And so we're going to look very simply at the two statements in the verse, and I hope that we will be encouraged as we do. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, verse 6. That is a fantastic definition of what it is to be a Christian. Somebody who has received Christ Jesus as Lord. Somebody who has looked at those great statements of the authority of Jesus in chapter 1, that he is the Lord of the universe, the Lord of the church, and you've said, I want to bring my life in line with that reality. I want to bring myself under his authority as my Lord. He is the Lord, but I'm going to acknowledge him as Lord in my life. I'm going to trust him to run my life. I'm going to submit myself to him. If you're here today as an interested observer in Christian things, you're still exploring who Jesus is, and you're wondering, how is it that all the people around you have come to put their trust in Jesus and follow him? That there is nothing mysterious to that. The thing we've all got in common is that we've all learned something about Jesus and we've all acted upon it. We've all decided to bring our life in line with the thing that we learned. We learned that Jesus Christ is the boss. He is the Lord. Maybe some of us heard that once. You know, a friend took you to a conference or a Christian gathering and you heard someone speak about Jesus and something clicked and you went, yep, that's it. He is the Lord. He is the one that I can trust. Others of us, it was a much slower burn, wasn't it, as we came to understand who Jesus is in all his magnificence, as we took time to understand the Old Testament and how all the promises were pointing to Jesus, as we took time to unpack the accounts of the life of Jesus in the Gospels, and we saw the incredible things that he said and did, or heard the things that he said and saw the things that he did. Maybe we began to realize that if he loved us so much that he came into the world to die for us so that we didn't need to be under the judgment of a holy God, then he really is someone that we can trust. Maybe for some of us, we needed just a few things explained. For others of us, we needed a lot of things explained. Some of us would have been adults when we received him, and we can look back to an exact moment and you can say, on this date, in this place, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord. For others of us, we grew up in homes perhaps with Christian parents who taught us about Jesus from a young age, or took us along to a church where we heard about Jesus. And looking back today, you can say, Jesus is my Lord, but you can't identify where in that backstory that decisive moment came. But the crucial thing is that you have received him. That's the thing that all the Christians in the room have in common. We've received Jesus Christ as Lord. And if you've never done that for yourself, if you've heard enough in the book of Colossians about Jesus to say, I want him to be my Lord, then please don't go home without speaking to somebody about how to do that. Because to receive him as Lord is as simple as spending time in prayer with him this morning, thanking him for being the Lord and asking him to be the Lord of your life. And Andrew and I would love to sit and chat with you at the end if that's something that you'd like to do this morning. But whenever that decisive moment came, whenever we received him as Lord, what does it then look like to go on in a life following the Lord Jesus from that moment on, in the weeks and months and years following? Well, that's the second point that Paul has for us. Just as you received him, continue to live in him. So the issue in these verses is not really so much about how we start the Christian life, but how we then go on in the Christian life. And Paul's answer is it's just the same way that you began. You began by receiving him as Lord, so go on with him as Lord. If the way into the Christian life is learning things about Jesus and then acting upon them in your life, the way to go on in the Christian life is to continue learning things about Jesus and to keep acting on those things. Because the wonderful thing is, and the reason why you can always look forward to growing more as a follower of Jesus, is that we will never get to the end of the astonishing riches we have in knowing him. It is a treasury that you will never get to the end of exploring the riches that we have in knowing Christ. We saw that last week in chapter 2, verse 3. Paul wrote, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, everything you need to be wise in the world, every bit of knowledge that you need to gain in the world that is worth having, ultimately will lead you deeper into Christ and who he is and what he has done. You will never run out of things to learn about him. You will never run out of new ways in which to put that truth into practice in your life. The gospel is simple, simple enough that the younger members of church who were with us earlier can understand it. But it is so profoundly deep that none of us will ever get to the bottom of exploring all its riches. Paul puts it in this way, being strengthened in the faith as you were taught. That's what the Christian faith, Christian life looks like going forwards, being strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Have you seen the gospel in action in someone's life? It's one of the privileges I have in my role is I get to see that kind of across a gathering like this and across the other congregations of our church. It is a very powerful thing to see the gospel at work in people's lives. Someone who starts reading the Bible seriously and they start discovering things about Jesus that intrigue them and they're drawn to him. And then they start to put those things that they learn into practice in their life and they're intentional about it and they're deliberate about it. And you start to see the results. They become calmer, where they used to become very easily angry and frustrated. And you start to see them making progress in that over time. How did that work? Well, they learned that Jesus had forgiven them so much. And they learned to start forgiving others more willingly and easily. Or maybe they grasp the grace that is in the gospel, that none of us deserve the goodness and kindness of God as we've remembered at the Lord's Supper. And yet God delights to pour out his goodness on us day by day. we didn't deserve that. We didn't do anything to earn that. And the more we think about it, the more it changes the way we relate to other people, doesn't it? We become more welcoming and more willing to kind of accept them and include them. Maybe you think about, you see someone thinking about the big story of the gospel and the promise of Jesus to return on the day of judgment, and how the wrath of God that we all deserve as sinners in God's world has fallen on Jesus at the cross. That we, if we trust Jesus, have the forgiveness of our sins. We are confident for the day of judgment, knowing that our sins have been dealt with. Well, that changes, doesn't it, how you then live your life. It gives you a new motivation to live a life that pleases God, a life that is seeking to grow in godliness. And again, maybe you've seen that being unpacked in someone's life as they start to say no to things that they know please their sinful nature and displease God, and say yes to things that know are going to help them follow Jesus more wholeheartedly. Verse 7 gives us some helpful pictures of what this strengthening process looks like. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. The first image that Paul gives us is of being rooted, like a massive old tree that has stood there for hundreds of years. It began as a little tiny sapling, just poking through the leaf litter in the forest floor. And over the years, the roots were sent down. And as it got taller, the roots were sent down deeper to gain more moisture and nutrients from the soil beneath. And over the years, as it got taller and taller above the ground, the roots went deeper and deeper beneath the ground. So that today, when a great storm comes and batters the tree, it stands firm. It's not knocked over. It's got roots that are so deep that it is secure and stable. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it, of what Paul is talking about here, of being strengthened in the faith. Continuing to put our roots down deep into Jesus, continuing to learn about him, continuing to put the things we learn into practice, all of that going on so that what grows is something that is stable and secure, that may be buffeted by the storms of life. Paul's not promising us an easy life if we're following Jesus, but he's saying if our roots are firm in Jesus, then we will withstand. We will stand firm through those challenges. The second image he gives is being built up. Think of those great skyscrapers in Singapore or Hong Kong or Dubai or one of those places around the world. Some of those are extraordinary structures. Maybe some of the more kind of technically minded people love those kind of superstructure shows that appear on SBS, you know, and how do they build these incredible tower blocks in the desert? You know, some of them have got foundations that are 70 or, you know, 100 meters deep beneath the sand of the desert. And the deeper the foundations go, the more can be built on top. So you can end up with these incredible structures that kind of rise so high into the sky because the foundations are deep. Again, it's a beautiful picture, isn't it, of a Christian who is learning about the Lord Jesus and delighting in the things that they're learning and putting them into practice in their lives. They're reinforcing their foundations every time they do that. Every time the Bible is opened, every time a Bible study gets to the point of applying God's word to our lives, the foundations are being reinforced so more can be built above. So that we can be more useful to the Lord in whatever situation he's put us in, whatever circumstances we're in. Third picture he gives, overflowing. Think of a tiny little natural spring. You know, it's just bubbling up, a little bit of water, fresh water bubbling up through the rocks. And there's enough there just to kind of splash, get it on your hand and splash on your face. And it's lovely fresh water. But there's not much of it. And so somebody comes along and they make the hole bigger. They drill a hole so that more of the water is released. And so what was once a little trickle is now a great kind of fountain of water overflowing. Every time a Christian learns more about the Lord Jesus and decides to put what they learn into practice in their life, it's as if the hole is being drilled a little bit wider, so that the thankfulness that comes from knowing all that God has done for us starts to come out and over time to overflow. So as we rejoice in what God has done for us, we become more appreciative of other people. We become more thankful of the things that they do. We become more grateful for the blessings that we have in life. I wonder whether you can think of a Christian that fits these descriptions, somebody who's you've seen stand firm through incredible storms in their life. Things that ordinarily would have knocked somebody over, but they've continued to stay straight following the Lord Jesus. Maybe somebody who's continued to take on more opportunities to serve the Lord, and you've looked at them and you think, how are they able to do that? What is it that's going on in their life that is strengthening them to withhold the weight that they carry? Maybe you look at somebody who's incredibly thankful. I can think of people like that who just can't stop being thankful for the things that they have, or the things that they see, or the things that they experience. Where does that thankfulness come from? What is it that is going on in their heart that is now overflowing in these words of appreciation and gratitude? The point that's being made is there is nothing static about the Christian life. It isn't a once, you know, you put your trust in Jesus, job done, you can bank that, and you know, when the day comes where you meet God face to face, you can pull it out and say, there you go. No, it's the start of it. Putting your trust in Jesus is the start of a journey. It's the start of a relationship where we grow with him through our lives, however many years he may give us, however long we may be a Christian following the Lord Jesus in this world. None of us can say we've ever arrived. I'm stable enough. I'm useful enough. I'm thankful enough. None of us can say those things. And so if this is what you want for yourself and for those around us, Paul gives us very clear instructions. Continue in Jesus. Continue in Jesus. Just as you received him, continue in him. Our church is a place for growing Christians, much like the greenhouse that my grandfather had in his garden, the place where the little tender saplings and things would be taken to get a bit of a boost from the sunshine and the warmth, a place where he could tend them and make sure that they were getting all the water and other things that they needed. So a church is a place for Christians to grow. We talk about it in our mission, playing our part in God's work, bringing people to new life and growth in Christ. Those are the things that we say we are about. In the language of the passage, Paul says, receiving Christ Jesus as Lord and continuing to live in him. That's what we're about. So the challenge is, are we committed to that? Are we praying for that? Are we working for that? For ourselves, for others, for each other, and for the people out there who've yet to hear about Jesus. Sometimes growth happens very slowly, doesn't it? I remember my grandfather giving me those little plants, and I would go and I would watch every day. Has it popped out of the soil yet? No, you only planted it yesterday. It doesn't seem to be very big yet. No, because you only measured it yesterday. You know, when is it going to bear fruit? Well, you only planted it last week. You know, so sometimes our impatience to see the growth leads to the discouragement that we sometimes feel, doesn't it? Being reminded that, you know, that the plants in the garden don't grow like Jack's magic beans. You know, you drop them in the soil at night and then in the morning there's a giant beanstalk up to the sky. No, we know that growth doesn't happen like that in the garden. We know that it doesn't happen that a newborn child is the next day a fully grown adult. And so it is with the Christian life. We may not see the growth day by day, but look back on a month, or look back on a year, or look back on a decade, and you can see the growth. You can see the change. We grow as Christians through small incremental steps, daily decisions to say, I'm going to put Jesus first. He's the Lord in this situation. He's the Lord on Monday morning. He's the Lord as I gather with other parents at the school gate. He's the Lord as I head into work. He's the Lord as I go out and spend time with my friends during the week. And those small daily decisions, well, that they make the big decisions of life to follow Jesus when it's really tough, that little bit easier, don't they? Because you've built up that expectation that Jesus comes first. He calls the shots. He is the Lord. And so we're strengthened in the faith as we were taught. So friends, are you growing? How can you learn from the gospel and put the things you learn into practice? What are you doing in your life intentionally to do that? Where are the places where you're learning about Jesus? Is that in a home group? Is that in your daily Bible reading at home? Is that as you read the Bible with your children and family at home? Is that as you listen along Sunday by Sunday? And how are you putting what you hear into practice in your life? Who are the people that you could put around you who could ask you honest questions about your obedience to the Lord? How are you going putting those things that you learn into practice? What do you need to pray for yourself, for those around you in church this morning, for our congregations across the day? Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. I'm going to leave you a moment of quiet for some personal reflection for you with the Lord, just in quiet prayer. No one's going to know what you say to him, but maybe this is a time to commit to your growth as a follower of Jesus. Maybe this is a moment to receive Jesus as Lord. But I'll leave you to speak quietly in your heart to him. Father, we thank you that the best years of our lives, spiritually speaking, can always be ahead of us. Thank you that the gospel that saves us is a gospel that grows us. Please, would you help us as we reflect on Jesus Christ as our Lord, that as we've received him, we may continue living our lives in him. May this church be a place where Christians grow for our good and for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.